North Idaho News of the Week is brought to you in part by Evergreen Realty, commercial and residential property listings. Online at evergreen-realty.com. Good morning. You've tuned in to North Idaho News of the Week for Friday, November 10th, election week. I'm Jack Peterson, and Chris Bessler is here as well. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, Jack. How are you doing?
I'm doing well.
This is kind of a rainy day out there. Actually, we live a little higher than town. We had a little bit of snow on our cars this morning.
You did?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So that surely translated to snow up on the mountain, which they're kind of badly needing at this point for the ski season.
Yeah. I would guess so. And I'm kind of surprised that all this precipitation we've had has not been causing a lot of snow up there.
Yeah, well, you know, it's an El Nino year, and that typically means warmer temperatures, and we may see that playing out right now because we've got a lot of precipitation, but it's been a little too warm to produce the snow. So there you go. I don't know if that's news, but everybody talks about the weather, so come on.
Yeah, I think that's news. I learned something. We have interviews today. Our Sandpoint Sound will be brief conversations with all the city candidates who are now council people elect and the mayor elect. So that's going to be the focus today. The election, of course, was held on Tuesday, November 7th. And I guess for those of you who didn't tune into our fine coverage on Wednesday morning, we should probably say that the results are as follows. Jeremy Grimm won in Sandpoint for mayor, besting Kate McAllister and Fritz Moore. He got about 53% of the vote. In the city council race, Pam Duquette and Kyle Schreiber and incumbent Deb Rule all won their seats for city council. Amelia Boyd, Ellie Susness, and Grant Simmons were also running. Scott Wood won for Lake Pend Oreille School District Trustee Zone 1 over Jen McKnight. And in West Bonner County, Margaret Hall, the incumbent, held her seat against Alan Galloway. Troy Reinbold, the incumbent, held his seat over Elizabeth Glazier, and Kathy Nash beat the incumbent Carlin Barton in Zone 5. And other local results, you'll have to go online to find out. The county clerk did a wonderful job.
And we went through all those on Wednesday. If you missed that show, we talked about the other cities that had elections as well. There were, I think, four cities that had elections.
Yeah.
And there are some other districts as well.
In other news, before we get to those conversations, pretty short little chats I had.
Short chats with the winners.
Yeah. The news did not stop and wait for the election to be over. At the county level, the Fair Board in October had a calm and productive meeting with Clerk Michael Rosedale and the Bonner County Commissioners. Sounds like everybody got together in sort of a clearing the air session. But
that's the reporting from the Daily Bee, yes.
Yeah.
And in fact, they did release a press release on that. And basically, it sounds like they're mending fences. The Fair Board and the Board of Commissioners have been at odds for months and months now over a variety of things. The RV park is still proposed for the fairgrounds that the county commissioners have supported. But the Fair Board has been, interestingly enough, opposed to it, or at least they've stated they've been opposed to it.
Yeah.
That's just one of the issues there. There's some issues about auditing and the financial of the fair And so it sounds like they made good progress there with that from a reporting that was in the B as well as the press release that they issued afterwards. In the agreement that they came up with between the Bonner County Commissioners and the Fair Board, they agreed to dissolve the existing memorandum of understanding between the Fair Board and the County Commissioners, as well as support an external audit for the fairgrounds' finances, including the operating expenses. The agreement also secures better access to county resources for fairground employees and appoints Bill Wilson from the Bonner County Prosecutor's Office to represent the Fair Board. So in their press release that they released, the joint press release, County Clerk Mike Rosedale was part of this, and he signed the agreement as well. So that's positive because he, too, has been at odds with the Fair Board. There's been some accusations passed back and forth there. The involved party said they were excited to provide the public with the best possible experience at the fairgrounds and, quote, we're committed to working together to accomplish that goal. So a positive move forward there on the county.
Yeah, well, at least in terms of interpersonal relations, no mention there of the hot button issue of the RV park, I don't think.
The RV park. Yeah, that's probably part of the whole cloth, but but at least they're going to be in the same room talking to each other civilly and working forward, it sounds like. So that's a positive development.
A very important step. However, at the county, not all was
roses.
No, exactly. Asia Williams, the county commissioner, has canceled her weekly chats and rather unexpectedly walked out of a board of commissioners meeting. She did not, at the time, make a statement as to why, but did pass a note and say that she would not be returning to that meeting.
Yeah, but before she left, that was on Tuesday, she left the meeting, she spoke during her commissioner's report to say that there's been an excessive number of public records requests that the county's been receiving the past few months. And according to her, Commissioner Luke Ahmed has identified himself as a supervisor of the county officers and has decided to request a hefty chunk of her emails. And that's creating a lot of work for the Bonner County staff to the point that they're even those requests, apparently, that she says Ahmed is making, along with a lot of requests coming from the general public for public records, has created so much work for the staff. They're actually considering to add a staff person just to handle all these requests, which, of course, taxpayers pay for the staff people. So we do want to have open, shine the light on all the official doings of our elected officials. But these public records requests can't create a lot of work.
Yeah. I'm curious. You're a reporter, Chris. I mean, is there no simple way to simplify this to say all these documents that could potentially be public, put them just in one spot and let the public open up and search through them at their leisure?
I suppose that's possible, but even emails that are sent, and of course, in the course of a day, public official may send dozens of emails.
Sure.
And somebody could come in and say, I want to see the emails that a elected official sent to so-and-so. And that entails a big search to find that.
Yeah.
And to put all of that information out available to the public, just in a huge database that the public can search. I don't know if that's feasible or what the logistical issues are for that. Mm-hmm. So, but there are definitely cases where public officials really stonewall on providing information that's requested by the public or by reporters. So, Idaho actually has a pretty strong sunshine law that stipulates that public records should be available to the public.
Yeah.
And that's important too. But it can become onerous. No question about that. Another thing that, as you mentioned, Asia Williams on Tuesday just kind of unexpectedly walked out without a real explanation prior to that. And then subsequent to that, she said she was canceling her weekly chats. But she says she's been suffering from some health issues and that she's struggling to control. And that's the reason she's not going to be conducting her weekly chats.
Okay.
And she does hope to get those going again in 2024. Mm-hmm. And Asia has been, you know, remarkably accessible to the public through those chats. And she's definitely, she'll get back to you if you get in touch with her typically. Yeah.
The US 95 in Sagal. Input is sought. Am I correct about that?
That's another story that came up this week. You know, we had all the construction to the extra lane just south of the Long Bridge with the new turnaround lane that's a little further south, so that people coming out of Lakeshore, if they can't make that left turn to come into town, they can make a right turn, go down a quarter mile or so, and then. Mm-hmm. Make the left turn to do the turnaround lane, which I hear from folks in Sagal, it's getting a good amount of use because it does help the people coming out of Lakeshore. That was a big project. It was in the works for a good couple of years. The actual construction went on for many months. But the ITD released a statement that, quote, recent growth, congestion, and safety issues between Dufferin Road and Lakeshore Drive has prompted ITD to revisit plans for future improvements. So the ITD is looking at that whole congested area between Dufferin Road, much farther south, all the way up to the Long Bridge. And of course, part of the work that's been done there in the last year was the new light that went up at Sagal Road there in Sagal. So we got a new stoplight out of it. And that's actually created an interesting situation that it creates groups of cars that are coming north.
So for
the people that say coming off of Bottle Bay Road or coming off of Lakeshore Drive, they'll have a pause between the groups, but then the group comes and there's no turning anywhere when those come through. So I don't know if this particular meeting that's coming up by the ITD, but they are setting a meeting for next Thursday, that's November 16th, between 4 and 7 p.m. at the Northern Lights office, which is in Sagal at 421 Chevy Street, where they'll have more information about things they're considering to address this traffic issue here, and also to give feedback on that. So folks that live in Sagal definitely want to probably take a look at that. Again, that's going to be next Thursday, November 16th, between 4 and 7 p.m. at the Northern Lights office. And I think you can find more information about this on the Idaho Transportation Department website.
You know what they call the right turn that goes to a turnaround lane to go left? We call that a Michigan left. I don't know if you've heard that before.
I have not heard that.
Why does
Michigan get the honor on that?
I guess it's most common in Michigan, or was invented in Michigan, but the go right to go left is the Michigan left, as opposed to the Pittsburgh left is another type of left turn. That's there's a few regional left turns.
It's the Lakeshore left.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. That's better, actually. I think the Lakeshore left.
It's the Lakeshore. You turn off Lakeshore, you got to go right in order to make the left turn. So I'm not sure how you'd stack that up.
Yeah.
One more thing. We got to get into those statements from the winning counselors and the mayor. But we should mention that the Traverse Park group that has been opposing the removal of the trees there, I think that you could say they kind of given up the ghost on it because the trees have actually come down, I believe. I don't know if all of them have, but the city took down a number of trees there already in order to build the new sports center. And Bonner County resident Molly McCann, who helped lead the efforts to save the trees, has decided to stop as she feels it's too late to save the park. And she is removing the GoFundMe account that she set up to raise money to pose a legal challenge. I think when a GoFundMe account does not achieve its goal, that the money just goes back to the folks that have contributed to it.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I think you're correct about that. Yeah. She seems, according to the reporting, seems that she felt that it was too, she didn't want to be involved in a lengthy lawsuit that, yeah, especially now that the trees are already gone. What are you going to? I don't think we mentioned, I think it may have happened last week, but the girls swim team, the Sandpoint High girls swim team, won state.
You know what? We did not mention that last week. Yeah.
First time since 2019 for a state swim champions, the girls swim team. The boys finished fifth in the state tournament. With that, I guess we should start. What's your preferred order, Chris? Should we do?
You should put mayor first, and then get into the three council seats.
Yeah. There we go. Okay, here we go with Jeremy Grimm, the newly elected, he is now the mayor elect. We're talking now to Jeremy Grimm. Jeremy Grimm just won election with about 53% of the vote here in the city of Sandpoint, and will be the mayor come January of 2024. And my first question for Jeremy is, how do you feel now that the campaign is over and you've won election?
Hey, well, hello, everyone out in Radio Land. Jack, great to be here. And I feel pretty invigorated. This is really exciting. I kind of told my family it's the next chapter in my professional life. And I feel like, the message that I put out there was well received by the voters. And they told me that was the whole city council that was the right message. So I feel invigorated, I feel excited, and I can't wait to roll up my sleeves and get to work and work with the council that's been elected and the existing council members.
And you kind of already started to answer my next question, but what do you think, in your opinion, what do the results of this election say about the voters here in town? What's on their mind?
I think it says that the voters were engaged, they're aware, and that they wanted some changes made. I think I was pretty clear on my positions when I was running. First and foremost, we gotta, go back to the department head model instead of the city administrator model. And then, community and public engagement and not just lip service, but real, sincere, robust engagement. Really need to, think about how we're going to grow and what that's going to look like and how we can make sure the voices of the voters are put into practice there. So that's kind of what I feel like they were saying through their votes at the ballot box.
And do you have an idea of what the first thing you'll do, first order of business or first priority when you take office is going to be?
Yeah, it's an interesting process. I technically have no power until I'm sworn in. Mm-hmm. And it takes, a mayor who's sworn in to set the agenda and place things on the agenda. Mm-hmm. So the first meeting probably won't be too exciting. It'll probably just be routine and to swear some folks in and pick a council president. But after that, the first thing I want to get working on is the structure of city management, city hall. We used to have 8 department heads. Currently, we have, I believe, 3 or 4. So I want to start looking at how do we put people in positions of authority and decision making in those departments and reestablish the department head sort of structure to city management.
Mm-hmm. That's more or less all the time we have, but do you have any closing words, anything else you want to say at this moment?
Yeah, I just want to thank everyone who participated, everyone who ran for office. It's a big effort, and you never know how your thoughts and opinions are going to resonate until the votes get counted. So thanks for my opponents. Thanks for the voters out there. And thanks for everyone for being tolerant with all that yard pollution for the last 2 months. So hopefully all those signs are picked up and we can go back to normal life.
That's Jeremy Grimm. He is the mayor-elect of the city of Sandpoint and will take office in January of 2024. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Jack.
We're on the phone with Pam Duquette. Pam was just on Tuesday elected to Sandpoint City Council and will be taking her seat on the council in January. Pam, how are you feeling now that the campaign is over and you have won?
Well, I am surprised that I won. I guess I didn't know which way it was going to go. I told Zach at the Reader the other day that I was definitely overwhelmed and honored to be chosen. We had quite a list of candidates. So, yeah, I'm excited, ready to step up, get going.
Nice. So now the results are all in and final and looking at those, what do you think they say about the voters and the electorate here in town?
That's a hard one. I'm not sure. Voter turnout was low. They say that it's usually low in an off year, but a lot was going on in town and seems like more people might have wanted a voice. So I don't know. I know a cold's going around. I would like to give people the benefit of the doubt. Maybe they weren't feeling well. I really want the public involved. We really need to get engaged and come together. So I hope that was just, I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't know why people didn't show up to vote, but I'm glad the ones that did.
Yeah. Yeah, there it was low. I think it was low compared to last time around.
It was, right. Yeah. And this time we had a mayor on the ballot. So yeah. I don't know. I just, you know what? I'm going to have to get back out and speak to the people. Like I said, I enjoyed that most in my campaign and find out what's going on.
When January rolls around and you're on city council, do you know what your first order of business will be or when your top priority as councilwoman?
I do. I think my top priority, again, engage the community. So I think we need to reinstate the advisory committees, the bike ped, especially to figure out safety for biking. I'm a big proponent of walking and biking in town. The tree committee, we need a real certified arborist as our urban forester. I'm not sure that we have that. We need to be following the rules for the Tree City USA status that we have. I'd also like to get a climate resilient sustainability committee going, just to keep up with things, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I've also spoken of my issues with traffic in town many times. Not sure how to proceed with that, but I think we need to approach that also. Lots of things we can do.
Yeah. Well, that's all the questions I had for you now, and I know there's a lot to think about over the next couple of months before you get to city council.
Not even a couple of months, really.
Oh, you're right. Yeah, it's month and a half or so. Well, unless there's anything else you wanted to say, I will.
You know what?
Yeah,
I do want to say it's going to be a steep learning curve for me. I realize that, but I'm ready to step up. And I really thank Sandpoint for putting their confidence in me, the ones that did vote for me. Let's keep Sandpoint real, folks.
Okay. That's Pam Duquette.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thanks, Jack.
Well, and thank you. She is going to be serving on city council, taking office in January of 2024. And
yes, I am.
And there you go. I will, we'll get back to the, to whatever's next.
Okay, thanks.
All right, thanks.
And I'll still be volunteering on KRFY. Don't worry.
Okay, thank you. Okay.
Bye.
We're on the phone with Deb Rule, who was just reelected to Sandpoint City Council on Tuesday. I'm speaking to her on Thursday evening, and we'll broadcast this tomorrow morning, November 10th at about 8 o'clock. Deb, how do you feel now that the campaign is over and you're back. You've been returned to city council one more time.
Well, I'm very thankful for everyone who gave me their votes, and I'd like to reach out to thank all of those people. I don't love the campaign part of being on the council. I like the details behind the scenes and getting down to work. So I'm looking forward to focusing energy and getting back to work, especially on re-energizing our committees and keeping our sewage treatment plant online. And again, making some of those amendments to the multimodal plan, and really getting a lot of input on how we're going to address a lot of the things going on in downtown and getting those building heights adjusted to where the public is happy with the outcome and maintaining that historic character of downtown. So,
Well, that's a lot. You covered most of my other questions. Do you have any, looking at the results after the fact, do you think, what do you think the results say about the electorate, the voters here in town, if you have any analysis there?
I have been busy at work since the election ended on Tuesday. I haven't really sat down to process that a lot, but yeah. I guess I would say that they were ready for some change. And so we'll be seeing some change in the future. And that's probably the most analysis I can give you without putting too much thought into it right on the spot here. So,
yeah, I've been asking the other candidates who are, of course, new in office, what their first order of business is going to be, or how things are going to change once they're there. But you, of course, are already on city council. So do you forecast any, anything new coming from your seat once January rolls around?
Well, I've been working on and have been working on building heights downtown. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to continue to work on that. I was hoping to have some changes done by the end of the year. I don't know if that'll happen just because the holidays come in and sometimes quorums don't happen because people have other responsibilities they have to take care of. But I would say that's probably one of the things I'm centering on right now. And starting to do some more work on the committees. And I've already talked to some residents over the past week or so about that.
Okay.
I think that's all I have to say on that piece. I think as far as, I guess, change, we'll just have to wait and see what happens when the new mayor is seated and what direction he wants to take the city, and we'll go from there.
Well, okay. I think that's it. That's the end of my questions. Unless there's anything else you wanted to say, I'll let you get back to whatever.
Well, I guess I would just like to congratulate all the other candidates, and yeah, that's all I have to say. Just congratulations to everyone else, and appreciate the hard work of everybody out there who was trying to get elected also.
Yeah.
So we had a lot of good people out there trying to make the city a better place.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. That's Deb Ruhl. She's currently the city councilwoman for the city of Sandpoint and will be so again, sworn in again in January for another term. And thank you very much for talking to us today.
You're welcome. And again, thanks to all those voters who have confidence in me and gave me their vote.
Okay. And there we go. That'll do it. Mm-hmm. Bye now.
Bye-bye.
Okay. We're on the phone with Kyle Schreiber. Kyle just won election to Sandpoint City Council. He had the most votes, actually, of any candidate in the city election with, I don't have it in front of me, but some 1,400 votes cast in his favor. And so, with that being said, Kyle, now that it's over, the campaign, and you have won, how do you feel? What's your day and these last couple days been like?
Hi, Jack. Yeah, thanks for having me. I got to feel good. I was definitely wondering leading up to the election if maybe I was just living in an echo chamber, that everybody that I talked to said they were supporting my message, but how it actually was resonating out with the bigger community. And so I'm very glad to hear that, what I had to say is what a lot of people think. And I'm looking forward to representing that, the voice in city government there.
Yeah. Hey, well, what do you, now that the results are in, what do you think the results as a whole citywide, what do you think that says about the voters, what they're after, what they want from their city government, if anything, if there's a clear message that you can take from it?
Well, I don't know if there's a clear message, especially in the city council race, a lot of us were identifying the same problems. So I think we all know what work needs to be done. And so I don't know that it says a very specific message about the electorate. I just think that, maybe folks thought I was the right person to address those problems.
Mm-hmm. What's your first order of business or top priority once you take office in January? Do you know what you'll be trying to address first? Is there either a topic of concern to you that you want to bring before the council, or do you want or just a way of operating that you'll bring to city council in January?
Oh yeah, I've got a lot to say about that. I mean, the first order of business has already started, and that's just learning more about how local government works and why things are the way they are in Sandpoint, because I recognize that since I've never held political office before or any sort of city government job, that I have a lot to learn. And I'm already started doing the hard work of learning all that stuff, and it's going to continue. But in terms of what do I want to accomplish and like what I might bring forward to the council, I think, the citizen committees have to come back. Virtually every city council candidate agreed that is something that we're missing. It's in our city code. And I think that a lot of the problems that we would have seen or that we have seen could have been caught earlier if we had those citizen committees, because the stated purpose in our city code says their purpose is to act as a forum for public discourse. So, I think that's something that we've lost sight of, and that I think everyone agrees that it needs to come back.
I'm just looking for hopefully just one point rather than your full, I don't need the full agenda or anything like that, just because there will be plenty of time to talk about that. And hopefully we will have you on for a fuller conversation in the coming weeks or months before you actually take office. Yeah. So for now,
I'd love to talk more.
I guess for now that seems like a good place to put it, but I want to give you a chance. If you wanted to say something else, please, by all means, the airwaves are yours.
Oh yeah. Well, I want to thank everyone that supported me. It was just blew me away how much support I found in this community from every corner of the town. So, thanks to all of the volunteers that made my campaign possible. My wife who volunteered in every single capacity possible, and, all the people who donated to my campaign and paid for all those yard signs that you saw everywhere. So, I just want to say thank you for everyone who helped make this possible.
Okay. Well, thank you, Kyle. That's Kyle Schreiber. He is the city councilman elect for the city of Sandpoint, and will take office in January of 2024. Thank you very much for talking to KRFY.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Well, there you have it. That was Kyle Schreiber, and before that, Deb Rule. Before that, Pam Duquette. All three of them are council members elect for the city of Sandpoint, and we also spoke to Jeremy Grimm, the first voice you heard there.
Nice job on that, Jack, and on rounding all those folks up. I will mention that we're going to have a longer interview with Mayor-elect Grimm on Wednesday at the on the morning show. He's actually not going to be able to be in live in the studio because he has some travel plans, but I am going to be speaking with him on Monday, and we'll have an opportunity to dig in on you know, how the election went and what his first orders of business will be, and more. So that's coming up on Wednesday on the morning show at 8 a.m. I wanted to mention one thing. You know, we're in overtime right now, I realize, but every single candidate who won and those who didn't win, all the candidates for mayor and council made engagement with and communication with the citizens a big priority. They all were not very specific on how you accomplish that. And I think the fact that the voter turnout was so low, it kind of points to the problem right there. And the voter turnout for this election, the numbers from Mike Rosedale, this county clerk, was 34.7% of registered voters in the city that could have voted did vote. So that goes to almost two-thirds of the people in town didn't even bother to vote. And the kind of the thing that the new council and mayor are going to have to do is, how do we activate those folks? How do we get them engaged so we can really fully represent their concerns?
I had a conversation with a non-voter who actually had followed the race, had strong opinions about what they wanted to see the outcome as, but also said, I'm throwing up my hands. I don't want to be involved in any of this, and did not actually vote on election day.
But why? Why did they throw up their hands specifically?
I don't know. I mean, I guess because they didn't care for any of the candidates, I think, is what was interesting. Part of it. I know. Yeah. Well, I guess without naming the person, I guess I'm okay to say that. That was my assessment of their mood. Yeah. But yeah, there's it was I found it kind of interesting. Also, you know, it was a rainy day.
It was a rainy day, but but we had a mayor on the ballot and city council, three city council seats. There's been tons of turmoil with the whole Traverse Park thing and downtown design, and I really expected a much higher turnout.
Me too. So. And it seemed I would like to actually see the breakdown a little bit. We should go over that of if the precinct, the Baldy precinct, if that had a higher turnout, because that's where Traverse Park actually is.
Yeah.
You know,
actually, we do have those numbers. I downloaded them. By precinct, there were five precincts within the city. By precinct, some of the precincts got as high as about 43-44% of the registered voters. Others were lower, low 30s, you know, so it averaged out to this 34%. Mm-hmm. But there wasn't any precinct that had even half the voters show up. So
that's interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the city council has
their
work. Another
thing is by precinct, what I observed was, I think, in every precinct, the folks that ended up winning overall won in those precincts as well. So, the precincts were all pretty uniform in who they favored.
Yeah. That is interesting. The council and mayor will have their work cut out for them to try and activate the electorate, since they have kind of at least
they all said they wanted to. We'll see what they come up with.
Stake their claim to that.
And we should probably wrap this, huh?
I guess so. Hey, in local other local news in terms of the media, I believe there's a new edition of Sandpoint Magazine coming out.
Yeah, it's actually coming. It's out in distribution right now. Yeah, it happens every May, and we have a summer issue that comes out. And that's my day job, in case folks don't know that. I'm the publisher. And look for that on the stands starting today, right now, actually. They're out and making distribution.
Yeah. Oh, really? I haven't seen it yet. Yeah. I'm going to go see if I can track one down. Okay. Well, thanks very much, Chris. There we go again.
Okay.
Okay. Now, Otto's Eclectic Mix coming up at 9 o'clock, Bird Note, and continuing on with our regularly scheduled programming.